Today's message is primarily our number one need today is spiritual wisdom. Subtitle is under spiritual growth. And what some of our people are doing is they're accumulating a notebook. I am giving subtitles so that they can put this stuff in there with their notes and grow spiritually. A lot of times, it was, man, that was a good message, but I didn't write anything down. Well, we want to encourage you to do that. And the reason for this need, what God has laid upon my heart, is that where Streams is going, I don't want to rely on man's wisdom, and neither should you. There is an overemphasis of education that is running rampant in this country today, and what we see in here is that the end doesn't justify the means, because what is happening is because it is overemphasis of education. And don't get me wrong, education in and of itself is not bad, but if that's what you rely on in your walk with Jesus Christ, you've got it all wrong. Okay, we see today that with this education explosion, you got to go to college, you got to do this, you got to do that, and what we are seeing is a demonic influence that is filtering from the top of our societal structure to the bottom. Is influencing people to forget about God. And in forgetting about God, we forget that He is the answer to every problem that we have. And when we turn our back on God and we try to figure these things out on our own, we try to use our natural reasoning and stuff, what happens is we find ourselves getting messed up. It may have been a temporary solution at the time, but God doesn't deal with temporary. He deals with the long term. And when He wants to eradicate something in the root, it takes a little bit of time to get rid of. We tend to want to fix things immediately, and then when the circumstances change, we want to fix that. And when we go on to another circumstance, we want to fix that. And we use the world's wisdom in fixing it. Well, what is the outcome of that? What we see is an increase of poverty, pride, increase of debt, violence, social decay, and moral failure that is happening because we're relying on our own mindsets. Now, if you have a heart's desire to be like a lawyer like Nick, or a teacher like Dan, or some other profession that requires this extended education, I say go for it. My kids both have college degrees. They both have done wonderful in their lives. But the fallacy is, that's not the only way around to what God wants to do. And the bottom line is, we need to be in the right position at the right time for the right reason to be used of God. And so what we do is we limit ourselves by saying, well, I have to go to this school to get this degree or get that. Holly's a great example of that, in which God gave me a word for her and she picked up on it really, really keenly. How long have you been there now? 8 years, and it was 9 years before that, or a year before that, that God spoke to me. And she cued on that I never spoke about if, I said when. And that's how I usually speak about things when God speaks to me. And she was very in tune to the Spirit. And so she moved on that thing. She was working for a collection, working with private businesses to bring in their collections of outstanding debt was what she was doing. And she and I were sitting there and we were talking, and God just gave me a word saying that you will be working for this fella to help him not only in his debt, but he will also in turn teach you other things which will be integral for the furthering of the kingdom. And that has happened. And so what we do is we tend to lean upon our understanding, and God tells us, you know, not to lean upon our own understanding, but in all the ways and acknowledge God. And so what we do is we forget about God, we get educated, we go out, and before we know it, we're so far away from God, we haven't realized. And when we're so far away from God, we don't know how to utilize His wisdom, because we don't have a relationship with Him. And so I ask you guys to turn to Isaiah 33, and this will be the building block of everything. Verse 5 and 6, I'm reading out of King Jimmy. I usually like NIV, but this translation works better for me. The word says, "The Lord is exalted, for He dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. What is he saying? He's given us an important thing, that the wisdom of God will be our stability and peace, but also our wisdom for our times. We're in great need of God's wisdom in these days. The church needs to know God's wisdom. They need to know God and the reality of God. We can't any longer depend on programs or just little things to go into the community to try to excite people about God. We need to learn to build relationships with our counterparts out there and not be afraid that you know, some of the mud that they're going to sling on us will stay on us. We can get washed in the Word all the time. But we need to understand God died for the world. He didn't die just for you and for me to get saved and just our four and no more. God wants to impact our lives, and in impacting our lives, he wants us to reach out into the world. You have something that they don't have, and you need to give it away. You need to give away the Lord Jesus Christ in order for you to receive more of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we understand that seeking first God, part of seeking him in the morning, we tend to use scripture in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek him first. Seek what he has first. Seek what he wants to do with us first. But generally what happens is our circumstances become complex and we get involved in the complexity of those things and we don't seek God. The simplicity of seeking God and seeking what he wants and imparting his wisdom to us is what we lack today. And you guys know me, I'm not about to do anything unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. And it lines up with his word, and it accomplishes God's purpose. But how many of us actually study the word to show ourselves approved? This is not to be an accusation against you. It's to show you our great need. God has provided his word for us, and what we do is we believe the lie out there that I got God, I can come and play church, and I can worship God, but the realities of what's happening in our hearts are slowly becoming contaminated by the things of the world. And God doesn't want us to be contaminated. He wants us to infect the world with the love of Jesus Christ. But if we're not seeking him, and we're not seeking his wisdom in how to do this, then we're doing nothing more than having a religious activity at his expense. And that's not what God's about. Wisdom is the knowledge of what is right and true, coupled with good judgment. I like to say it this way. Wisdom is the application of what is right and true while gaining insight and understanding through the experience of it. The only wisdom that we really need is God's wisdom. He has experienced everything for us. He knows the beginning to the end. Wouldn't it be just logical to go to him and find out what's going on in your life, in the life of the church? What part do I play in this? How can I be of service to the master instead of waiting to be volunteered? You volunteered the day you said, Jesus, come into my life. Take over my life. You're volunteered. And so you don't need to be asked, you just need to get involved. So how do we gain this wisdom from on high? Turn to Acts 1, and Jesus gives us a real good clue. But Mark writes there, we're starting verse 1 of Acts 1, and we'll read through verse 8. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus had began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard me say. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of heaven? And he said, it is not time for you to know the seasons or the times which the Father has put to his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem, and all in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. Would you not agree with me that probably the biggest area that we lack is power? Power in the church, power in our lives, power to accomplish the will of God. Some of us have been baptized in the Spirit and we have power. But in that power, we're able to walk this life out without having sin contaminate us. Although this body is filled with sin, we have now power from on high not to succumb to it, because we are new creations in Jesus Christ. The problem that we're suffering today is that most of the church doesn't understand what this power is for. This power is to go and witness or be a witness. What church do you know is a witness to its community? Well, Streams is trying to be, but the reality of it is that without being baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, collectively, we have no power. All we are just walking, talking, born-again believers, overcoming the power of sin. That's not what Jesus said here. He said, you, plural, will have power from on high. And so, to me, the rationale is, when we seek Him, when we're looking for Him, not many days hence after we seek Him, we're seeking His wisdom, first of all, but we're also seeking Him in power and might. And the church needs to be baptized in His Spirit. We see in chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit falls upon the apostles, that tongues of fire were upon them. Was that just one individual? Was that two individuals or three individuals? No. It was the church at that time. 120 souls at that time were baptized in power. And what happened? What was the next sign that happened? They ran into the streets and they were prophesying in the native tongues of individuals who had come to celebrate Passover. And their comment was, are these not guys from Galilee? How are we understanding their dialect? They're speaking to us, praising God in our own language. You see, God's not bound by time and space. He's not limited by our inability to speak a native tongue. All He wants to do is baptize us with His Spirit to do what He wants. He's looking for vessels to use in the extending of His kingdom. And so what we have to understand is Jesus sent the Holy Spirit here not just to teach us, not to just comfort us, not to just reveal the future to us. He came here to establish the kingdom of heaven in us, by us, working together through us, out to the world. And if we are not doing that, then all we're doing is playing church. I am not one to play church. When He baptized me, that was the end of Satan's rule over my life. And it should have been the end of Satan's rule over your life. When we come together in prayer, the first thing we need to do, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, is we need to repent. Not all of us are clean. We get contaminated every day. And so, if we're going to seek God, we need to seek Him on His terms. And we cannot come into His presence expecting Him to listen to us when we're filled with a bunch of junk. When we're doing things out of our own rebellion. When we're not listening to the Holy Spirit to prepare us for kingdom culture here now, so that His will that is being done in heaven is being done here in the church at the expense of our little lives. Doesn't the Scripture say He takes delight in seeing the death of His people? Did you ever think about what He means by that? He's talking about us denying what we want, denying our desires, desiring our plans, our purposes, our rights. And we're seeking His face. We're seeking His wisdom. I told my kids when they were young, do all everything that you do to the glory of God. Do not bring any shame to Him. Because your decision goes directly against Him. You see, you have a purpose, and He has a plan for you. But if you're still doing your own thing, or you're being influenced by those who are still in the world, instead of you influencing them into righteousness, we've got things backwards. And so what we need to understand is Satan's rule, the moment we got saved and baptized in power by the Holy Spirit, began to end. And that's why we see so much turmoil out there. That's why we had so much turmoil being here, building this structure so we could gather together. That's why so many of us are still having problems in our lives. Because we have not learned to depend on God, seek His face, find out what He wants to do, and then do it. You see, finding His will is only half the problem. You need to be willing to do what He tells you to do in order to receive that which He's called. I think the word that Gomez gave today was really apropos. We got things backwards. We want to have a bless me syndrome. Remember when we were in the Republican Club, I said you have to, if you're holding on to your blessings and you're not giving them blessings away, you can't receive more blessings. God wants to. But it's on your end. You're withholding. Well, I just don't want to serve that person because I got a problem. Yeah, you got a problem. You got a problem this way first. You think this problem is this way. But the fact of the matter is you're out of relationship with Almighty God, who sees your life from beginning to end, and He is trying to steer you to prosper you and your family. And how does He prosper you? By you dying to your wants and desires and getting up early in the morning, seeking His face, thanking Him for protecting us through the night. Now, some of these benefits that we have in baptism, it's not any heavy revy, but we need to understand that we also have the power to witness. We also have power over the demonic and unclean spirits. We have spiritual revelation, increased understanding as to who God is and His plans. We have fruit of character that is being born into our lives, prophetic operations, spiritual gifts, spiritual wisdom, and on and on and on. We cannot exhaust the benefits of God. What we do is we take for granted. Or we say, that's somebody else. That somebody else wants to be used. The fact of the matter is, if you're here, God wants to use you. You just need to be willing. You need to surrender to what He wants. So that brings us to spiritual wisdom. Why do we need spiritual wisdom? Well, we need to know God's will. We need to know what He wants to do and why He wants to do it. He doesn't have to explain Himself. We just need to respond and do what He wants. But He will take time to explain to us. What is spiritual wisdom? Spiritual wisdom is the ability to apply the Word of God to accomplish God's will in our lives. Understanding only comes when we first apply our faith to God's Word. That's Romans 10:17. Today, if we are in dire need of this baptism in the church in order to have these benefits become ours, they have to become our reality. If you're thinking it's for somebody else and God doesn't want to bless you, you have to understand that material blessings are not the only thing that God wants to bless you with. He wants to prosper you in good health. His greatest desire is to set His people in positions of power and authority, to rule and reign. That's what it means to be kings and priests of His kingdom. We have been predestined to rule and reign. But most of us are thinking in a poverty mindset, and we're not thinking kingdom mindset. We think we have to live by this world's culture when God is saying, I'm trying to teach you my culture. I'm trying to teach you a better way. I'm trying to accomplish my will on earth as it is in heaven. But you're relying on your thinking. You're relying on human ways of doing things. And His ways are far more superior than that. I remember when God spoke to me about coming, looking at this facility, and we had been looking for 5 years. We were at Pastor Parks. We were looking. And God was just, no, that's not the one. But he showed us something. Every building we looked at, we're like, phew. Then after 5 years, he just spoke to me and said, come here. And the rest is history. It's because I was willing to do what God said to do, be available at the time he said to be available, and walk the second mile with him, that we're here. Because of your obedience and my obedience, we had this facility. And God is only beginning with us. This is only the beginning. We need to understand that when we got baptized, we're also being equipped. The Holy Spirit is equipping us. What is he equipping us for? Well, he's equipping us for judgment, righteousness, wisdom, knowledge, stability of one's life, strength, reverence for God, and walking in holiness, amongst other things. But we still think we have options to do these things. And the problem with the church is believing that lie. We don't have options. This is what God is trying to do in each and every one of our lives. And he wants us to radiate this outside to the church. When was the last time somebody walked up to you and said, no, there's something different about you. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something different about you. If you have to think that long, maybe we need his wisdom in what he wants to do here more than we think. Isaiah clearly states that the wisdom and knowledge of God and us seeking after him brings stability to our lives when we respond in obedience to his word. If we're doing what he tells us to do, that doesn't mean all of a sudden we clean out our houses and we walk around pretentious that we're holy. No. What that means is we surrender our lives and let him do what he wants to do in us first so he can do it through us next. The process isn't arduous. The process is we don't have understanding as to what he's trying to accomplish or why. Because we're not seeking him. We're still thinking the old way. We're still thinking in the ruts of this world when really, you know what? Every time I made a decision, I got further and further into trouble. And every time I made a decision based on my circumstances, I got even more in trouble. When I finally realized that I needed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior was the first time I rolled my car down an embankment. My car was literally crushed and we should have all been killed, my family and myself. But God had other plans. He used that in such a way to win me to Jesus Christ and begin to start teaching me as I'm teaching you. Sometimes it was these teachings were through the road of hard knocks. Sometimes it was gleaning from other people, just observing what was going on in their lives. Sometimes it was a spiritual impartation of a revelation that being in his word and just crying out to God. And if you saw my other Bible, you would know he and I have had some really intense conversations. You see, this Bible is not to be poo-pooed as something holy and reverence, although it is. It is God's Word. But this is your textbook for living. Living a life of success in Jesus Christ. And your life, why you were created, was to bring Him glory and praise through your life. Now what we need to understand is, just as Jesus was sent from the Father to atone for our sins, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to teach us, to comfort us, to educate us, to bring us into culture reality with the kingdom, to do things. But we have to understand, he established something that was not there before. The Holy Spirit actually established the apostolic movement of which we are part of. Not an apostolic denomination, the apostolic move. Because as Christ was sent to the world, and as he sent the Holy Spirit, he is sending us, the church, And we definitely need His wisdom in order to know why we're being sent and where we're being sent. To just indiscriminately go to places, well, I just thought it was a great idea, I should go on that mission trip. Well, you know what? God's going to use you, but that's not the best thing to do. I don't say that. I've done those mission trips where I just need a short vacation. And my life was 2 weeks of sheer hell and turmoil because I was out of the will of God. You see, you can think that you're in the will of God because you're doing these spiritual things. But did God say to do this? I ask my leaders all the time, what's God saying to you? And it's going to be more and more prevalent to you guys because I expect you to begin to start using your gifts and talents for the expansion of His kingdom. So when I sit there and I say, Shema, what's God saying to you? Don't look like, well, I haven't been sitting there with God talking to Him. Mm-mm. You and I are going to have some talking. There is a plan going on. There is a plan in this world that is going on to bring you to ruinization. To bring death and destruction to you, to your families, to your lives. And it's coupled with the corrupt thinking of human thought and education. You may be able to be the most educated person in the world, but you don't know what's going on. I had people say, man, Pastor, do you know what's going on in the Middle East? Man, I'm such afraid that the end of the world's coming. I'm looking forward to it. See, I know in who I believe, and I'm doing what He's telling me to do. The reason why you're afraid is you already checked out. You're waiting for your ticket to be punched for rapture. And I'm trying to get you to understand that a rapture mindset will keep you in the pews. It will not get you into the streets. We are to be at work in the fields, not sitting along the sidelines. We need the Holy Spirit to bring us His wisdom so that we can have a stable life, sound judgment, and the ability to make right and true decisions. We tell our kids about some of the things that they've been doing. Why? Because we have life experiences that will keep them from making the same mistakes. Unfortunately, they do them anyway. Why? Because they have the right to. We as parents have the right to instruct them, but we don't have the right to punish them. If they want to make the same mistakes, let them make the same mistakes. And I've turned my kids over to the Lord, and it's the Lord's job now. I've done all I can until they became adults to do this thing. We are exhorted all out through Proverbs to gain wisdom. Proverbs 4, verses 5 through 8 says, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal or main thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor, and you will embrace her. The problem with that is we limit the thought of wisdom to earthly wisdom. The wisdom that's being talked here is spiritual wisdom. That doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect, but you have to see how your behavior and your conduct is aligned with the purposes of God. And hear me, you can be so full of yourself that you think, I know the word inside out. I know chapter and verse. I know this, I know that. All you're doing is deceiving yourself. If you don't know how to apply it past the basics, you are deceived. God wants us to understand that there is revelation upon revelation upon His Word. How many times you have read His Word over a certain passage and all of a sudden it clicks. It brings light. It brings wisdom. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Why? Because our heart is seeking God. We want to know something. We may not understand what it is, but all of a sudden that verse pops out of the Scriptures. It's alive. It's burning. And it's like, man, should have had a V8 or a V6 or some other puddle jumper. Well, they said they were all up in the upper room in one accord. Four cylinder. Okay, here we go. We have to understand that it is God who fills us with wisdom. In Exodus 28:3, it says, this is the Lord speaking to Moses, and he says, "So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with my spirit of wisdom, and they shall make Aaron's garments to consecrate, that he may minister to me as priest." I had Dan ask me one day, "Pastor, how do you know all this stuff? How do you know about building this or doing that?" And I said, just simply, I just got involved. I wanted to know how to do these things. And guess what? As you're doing it, you learn these things, and it becomes part of you. And you just take on to the next thing. I didn't become this gifted and talented because God poured it into me. I had to avail myself to be taught those things that God wanted me to learn so I could build into your lives. And you don't realize how much I'm struggling to build into your lives because you're resistive to the things of the Spirit. God doesn't want to use me. Yeah, He does. That's why you became born again. He prizes you. He'll use the heathen to convict us to finally get where we're at. But He loves you so much that He doesn't want you to just sit in the pew. He wants you to get out there and get involved with people's lives. You have something that they need. Truth. And reality of that truth through your life. But if you're not seeking His Word and not applying it, you won't gain understanding. All you'll have is an educated pastor who doesn't know anything more than, well, I know these 10 verses and I'll preach on these 10 verses. Or you'll go to conferences and you'll glean from other people without seeking to find out how it is, God, that you want to use me. I remember Ed and I went to Banner Brothers, and he and I went to the very same workshop because he and I were thinking and asking God, where do you want us to go? I walk in, he walks in, he says, oh, I guess God wants us both here. Yeah, I guess so. It wasn't by coincidence. It wasn't by hocus pocus or rolling the dice. I like that one. I like this speaker. I need to know what He wants to build in me, to build into His church, so that His church can be built and glorify Him. You're not here today by happenstance. You're here for a reason. And the reason is God has a plan for you. You need to understand that this plan, God has put things into you that through your vocation, through your life experiences, through your training on the job, all those things are interactive to accomplish His will for your life, not just education. And I don't want it to make it sound like I'm coming against education. I'm saying there's something more tangible that we need, and if we're not seeking it, we won't get it. And if we don't get it, we'll be sitting in the pews wondering, what's my existence for? What's my life all about? Why am I here? And I hear it all the time. Well, not all the time. Most of the time. If I was to ask you, what's your purpose in life? What would you tell me? What has God said specifically for you to be doing? And you're not. But bless me, God. In order to get His blessing, you must fulfill His condition. It's not my words. That is His word. If you want to live a life that's stable, prosperous, and of good, you must learn to operate, and He does. Give it away. He says, give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken over, in good measure. You see, the ways of the kingdom is completely 180 degrees out of sync with this world. But yet, we haven't taken time to be re-educated in such a way to allow God to use us in a proper way. And because of that, we lack spiritual wisdom of which the church needs. It's not a great teaching when we do about finances. It's not a great teaching about doing roots of character. It's not a great teaching of having Pastor Joe come in and do a deliverance ministry. These are all vehicles and vessels in which to equip you, the saints, to do the works of the ministry. Isn't that what Ephesians 4 is all about?
Well, I just think it's your job, Pastor. I just think you need to do it.
Think again. I'm a gift to you. I am. You can either receive that gift with praise and glorifying God, or you can be so full of yourself not to receive the gift. And believe me, I'm not this smart or good looking because God thought that. I got this smart because I had a lot of hard knocks, and I ripped a lot of my hair out because I couldn't believe what I was doing. I was actually on a path to self-destruction until God got a hold of me. And I just said, yes, Lord. This impartation that the Holy Spirit wants to make on us has to be our reality. Isaiah 11 says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. We're talking about Messiah. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with a rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be his belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. As I said, this may become a startling revelation to you, and the Holy Spirit is pressing upon me. Jesus was not born Christ. He wasn't. He was born Jesus. When he went into the baptism, the waters of baptism in the Jordan, the Holy Spirit came upon him and anointed him Christ. Christ means anointed one. That's all it means. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit, who is our Christ, our Messiah. He is the one who has saved us from ourselves. And that very same Spirit wants to anoint us. We, his body. He wants to give us everything that we need in order to accomplish the goals in our lives so that God can receive all praise and glory. You see, he doesn't want to keep us here any longer than he has to. And as I said years ago, it is up to the church to enhance the second coming of the Lord. He's not going to come until certain things are in place. He will withhold and stop the things of the world until the church gets it right. It's not being the last person on this planet receiving Jesus Christ and we caught up. That's not what it's about. We need his wisdom. We need it because we're the church. We're his bride. We're his kids. And we need to know what Dad wants from us. What he expects of us. He is not angry with us. He just recognizes our condition a lot better than we do. And he lavishly wants to pour out his Spirit upon us. You have so much to offer, but you limit yourself by the way you think. God brought you into an everlasting kingdom that you will inherit. And bringing you into that kingdom, he has prepared a place for you to live. He has a treasure trove of rewards to give to you. He has so much that he desires to give to the church that we have not been asking for. Because Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it for you. We're still asking about our next job. We're still asking about, how am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And because of it, our hearts tremble with fear. Peace brings stability. When you know that he's in control, you have stability. He's your rock. Doesn't matter what storm comes along. It doesn't matter what that cute little guy says to you. It doesn't matter, because all that matters is what God is speaking to us now and us responding in a way that exhibits that love for Him by doing the things that won't bring disgrace to Him. Our behaviors are forgiven. But we have to understand that when we're not doing the things that God has said, we walk that very fine line to rebellion. And one of the things that Messiah had was a strong understanding, the fear of the Lord. I think part of the problem with the church, and we've had demonstrations of power, we've seen God do some awesome things, lay people out and healings and stuff. But that's not for us who believe. That's for those who don't believe. And the best way of doing that is going out there, praying with someone, and watch God do something. That'll get their attention. Coming here is where we come, we get built up, we get educated, and we get charged up that this week I get to do something with Jesus. I get to turn somebody else's world upside right for the first time in their lives. I get to show them the power of God. I get to reveal Jesus to them for the first time. You see, the devil has lied to us in a means of saying, you got to do this. No, we get to do this. This ministry is exciting. Walking with Jesus is exciting. And as we've learned at Banner Brothers, we're radical. And we are radical. We don't want to be stuck in religion. We don't want to be stuck in the old ways. We are new creations, born to rule and reign and establish His kingdom on earth, that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what this world is looking for. That's what all of the book of Romans talks about, is how He's defeated sin and the world looking for the sons of righteousness to be manifested. They want to look at something real. They're looking to you and to me to create that reality. Amen? Let's stand. Father, we just come before You in the mighty name of Jesus. I have spoken Your word over Your people, God, and said to them how important it is that we not only seek out Your word, but gain wisdom. Because it is wisdom that will exalt us. Nikki sought Your face, God, and You gave her something that no man could give her. And it meets everybody's needs, God. I praise You for that, Holy Spirit. That is what we're supposed to be doing. Father, I ask that if I should even enter into that religious spirit, God, that You would take me home. I am no further use to Your people. I am a detriment to their, and a liability to their spiritual growth. God, I pray that as we put our hands up and release those things that we're holding on, we find that they are only trinkets and trivialities of this world. What matters more is us embracing that which You have given to us and give us the confidence and understanding and wisdom to utilize it for kingdom expansion. This world is falling apart, God, and without You, there is no hope. But we need You in the church today, Jesus. We need Your Spirit in Your church today. We need to say, yes, Lord, and do what it is that You've called us to do. No excuses and no thoughts beforehand. Just respond and do it. Father, I ask that You bless each one here today, that You, Holy Spirit, would bring conviction to our hearts and that we would come to a reality we've never been before. I like saying it. We've never been this way before, God. Which shows how fresh and how new it is, this walk we have with You each and every day. God, we commit our lives, our families, our substance to You. And that if You bless us with increase, God, we will still use it for You. God, you are smiling on your people today. We ask that you bless them richly in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, Amen.